Good morning, the world. I'm Dio there, and this is 33 exit 33. Welcome in this beautiful day. I'm looking at the primary ancient woodlands that I can see from my office or the studio workplace window. I think I'm very gifted and lucky to have this space for my own use. Which is kind of like a two floor, and there is the third one as an entrance, which I use to store my shoes. And I have so many shoes, incredible amounts, that I don't really use it much of them. And sometimes I just open the shoe cupboard, which is quite like a meter and a half or 2 meters long, and the depth is it's a furniture, a piece of furniture which I designated to store my shoes. And I open it up and I'm just, oh my God, what do I do with all these shoes, especially with the high heels? Because I think I'm one of those, I don't know if any more of me around, lying around somewhere as a woman. If you are like me, a sucker for the high heels, really want to wear the high heels. If I could, I'll wear them every night, go out somewhere. But I have so many high heel shoes and boots. And if you ask me over the last 10 years how many times I've actually worn a high heel shoes is, I think, 3 times. And they weren't the really, really high heel ones. I think 3 times in the summer, it's medium heel, and all of these times I went to the dancing class. I was doing the Latin dancing classes, so the high heels was kind of like lifting up your bum and give a little bit of a different spinal shape. So when you're dancing, the chest just stays stable, and the high heels just gives a bit more flexibility to the waist if you're using it in that sense. And because you're on a high heels and it's just slightly tipped forward when you're dancing, when as a woman, as a female, if you bend your knees ever so slightly and let your body to touch slightly, not like giving a big hug, but to your male or the counterpart who leads the dance, it's so much easier just to follow it. It's almost like the feet, the legs follow it. And I find it easier to do it with the high heels. I have an incredible selection of high heel shoes for the summer, for the winter, and I've only worn it three times. And I think in this time I gave some away and bought some too. And I like to thank the universe for just giving me, providing me that kind of pleasure to have them. But I'm just thinking I might, in a kind of close future, I might reduce it into I just can't say like a no high heels, because I know it will just make me go crazy. Even though I don't wear it, it's just something, it must have stuck with me from my early ages. I think that high heel shoes was the first shoes I've ever bought was high heels. And I've never worn, I tried to wear it once and I didn't like it. I played basketball, I swam, I ran, and I drank, I danced. I'm a prolific dancer. I'm kind of a dancer. I just have that rhythm and I love it, that people used to come and watch me dancing in the nightclubs or the bars. And I remember once an opera singer brought his wife, who's just against all kind of out nightgoings, and she was coordinating some ballet performances for the royal, not that we don't have a royal in Turkey, the state ballet and opera. And he was just so convinced that I must be included in that performance, because the energy I was emitting when I was dancing was prolific. I still am, and I love it, and I can dance with every shoes except the high heels. And high heels are great to dance, to do a partner dancing. It's already been 5 minutes and it's incredible what a subject can open up, opens itself up. And my love of high heels and not wearing them, I think they're work of art. So I'm here today to talk about, I guess, something else than dancing. But why not? There's something really primary about dancing and connecting with music, connecting with rhythm. I think dancing is more about the rhythm. And now these days, I've started to get into the grips of the talking with rhythm, and I'm really, really liking talking in a rhythmic way or listening to. I mean, it's a strange thing to say that listening to the words find their own rhythms. And speaking, hearing other people now speaking with their own rhythms, the emphasis are different. Because I've learned English kind of on my own and being around other people, most of them are over in that time. Still, they are British, except if without my knowledge, they've gained a second nationality. And I heard somewhere that if you could, in very special circumstances, you can even have a third nationality, like a third passport. I'm not quite sure about where I heard it, but I think my Israeli friend was saying that, because she already has two different two nationalities. She has Israeli passport and an American passport, and she was thinking about getting a UK passport and keeping all three. I'm not quite sure if she has a special circumstance that she could do that. I didn't really ask it to the search gods. But yeah, that is all right. If I talk us back to the rhythm of things, there's something really primal about something really sacrumy. There is actually a thing, sacrum. So I'll come back to it after I talk about this rhythmic thing. Otherwise, it just sounds like I start a subject and then I don't finish it, which is mostly true, could be true. But I'm also teaching myself to finish things. All right, coming back to the dance and rhythm. When you feel how we move around, we hear the sounds of, like, if you live in the city, we hear the sounds of the cities. I used to record some water flows of a city, the sound of city, like an urban soundscape, and put them in my mind. I used to feel like there are some kind of drums or some kind of percussion, some sounds that are making music, and I could move into through those music from one to one. It's like water flowing through and it's touching and licking the rock formations around, and having a little conversation here and there, nipping in and out, which is really kind of my personality, like a nipping in and out. It's, I'm here and I'll give you all my 100% at the time when I'm here, but I'm not really anywhere. I don't really belong to anywhere except I belong to my comfort. All right, okay, so rhythm. When we go through all the old tribes, ancient tribes, the way that rituals and the celebrations are made, it generally based on some kind of having a rhythm or rhythmic instrument, a percussion type of instrument. It's either hitting onto hitting it onto objects or shaking the fruit cups with beans and little seeds in it. The seeds are creating another rhythmic flow. Seeds are seeding joy, or seeds are seeding some kind of emotional response into us by just shaking themselves across the borders of their vessel. So it's the same with the percussionist instruments. You just dab it, you just hit it, you don't try to make it soft. We just listen to the bounce and listen to the reverb it gives, listen to our own expression giving, responding, mirroring us back, and we hear the echo of what we do onto that tab. Everything is an instrument. It depends on who's playing it. And a percussion is something very, very embedded to us. It's creating the rhythm. So with that rhythm that's been created in the city and the urban sounds, which I love industrial sounds, and it could just be, if you listen back to my previous episodes, there's an episode about the void and about journey. That's how my journey started. But when I start looking at it more in depth, having that kind of a void and facing with darkness most of the times just giving me all this appreciation about every little light that is in my life. And I know there's no other way than combining all these lights and doing it yourself, because the light as the greatest light source is just here for everybody to tap into it. I think I've just started to realize there is two distinct group of people. One of them are artists and the other ones are doers, or they're just watching and they don't understand. And once you have the artist side, and you got the flow, and the flow flows through you, and you become the ney on the reed flute, which is very Sufistic. You know, the whirling dervishes, which is about connecting with the divine source, and knowing that we're all born with different attributes in this life, and we learn to use that and mirror it and reverberate it and echo it and reflect it back to us, and not get lost in the emotions. But they're just so beautiful to feel as the way in the depths that I feel. I mean, and I said, look, I'm still tracing it back. I mentioned about, like, nowadays I feel like I belong to my comfort. I mean, last night was the first, last couple of weeks in the last 10 years, I'm really feeling like I'm sitting and I'm comforting and I'm relaxing. I don't know how much to emphasize it, but this is just so brilliant. I'm noticing that I've always been in a kind of a defensive position with my own mind. And just like noticing people are bringing now, I mean, whatever the people were bringing towards me, it was just, because they just didn't see what I'm made out of, what substance I've made out of. And that substance is rhythm. You can't just like try to combine two different rhythms or two different speeds on top of each other. Each genre has its own rhythm. So that's just a time to find your own rhythm in life and find your own genre in life. You know, for the last I mean, last night I had this moment, which, like I'm just saying, the last couple of weeks, or the first time in the last 10 years, even it could be more, I felt like I am relaxing. I'm relaxing into who I am and my own being. And how did I get into that? Because I relaxed onto my sofa. And last night in my study room, I put The Irishman on. I think it's an incredible movie, Irishman. And lots of different levels. It's like all these emotional realities. And when you look at the characters and how they dealt with that emotional reality of, for him, that's the consequences of life. It's on rhythm, but if you know, if you've been through some of those, and I bet so many people do, it just gives a different whack. So The Irishman is just so incredible. And I was, and there's this armchair which I got inherited. I got from my neighbor. It's like a two armchair. They're leather, and they're quite low on the seat, and they're very 70s spaceship looking style. Quite large for where I live, how I live. I just think it's so, but one of them is in my dining area, which I use, where is my handmade, had gathered, assembled sofa is there, which I'm just loving it for the time being. And the other armchair is in my studio room. And I've decided to cut the work I was doing, which now I'm preparing some workshops, online mini courses. But the reason for that is very different. And I want some time, I'll get into that too. But now I'm in my studio room, study room. This is not my painting room. This is where I do my computer stuff and stare out of my window. Because on one side of the front, it just looks at the primary ancient woodlands that I live nearby. On the left hand side, there's this gorgeous, magnificent and really large pine tree. And it sways sometimes with the wind. And it's really surreal because at that window, at the corner of the window, that adjoining corner of those two windows, which is like, I have this plant growing site. So it's my little botanical gardens. So when that large pine tree just gets in there, it gives a depth. Because further along from that pine tree, I have another part of the woodlands I can see. And between two, three floors, floor detached houses. And some of them are semi-detached houses. So I kind of have a pretty great view here. So when I come in here, I kind of relax. Oh, at least this is how it's been happening. So last night, it's around 10, it was around 8, and I started watching something. And it was like quite a rom-com style, and I liked it. It was, I can't remember its name. It was like a marriage or something. So it's not a rom-com. It's kind of like an emotional. It has the potential of being a romantic, but it's not. I quite like that film. But then I didn't go to sleep or to go back to work because I had half a chocolate that my maid has been making beautifully with his with weed. But I'm not a weed smoker or an eater, but I'm not smoking tobacco. So since New Year's, a friend of mine gave a little bit of a weed to me because I was hyperventilating for a couple of weeks. I was like, couldn't get the grips of talking and the rhythm of talking because my mind was, there's a strange pattern, cloud of anxiety was occupying in my mind. It's all about the mind, and that created some kind of a chest tightness Well, moving that, so a friend of mine gave a little bit of a weed to me, and I start smoking every like 2-3 days, and tiny little bit of a just weed, rolling it and smoking, and I loved it. I loved how it's been making me to question my own behaviors. I used to get freak out of it because it has a potential to take you towards depressive thoughts, I think, but you know, that's my thoughts about these kind of things is you gotta be, if you're doubting about your own thoughts, if you're doubting about something, or it's just like depressive thoughts are creeping in, or you're just living in the past or living in the future, it means that there's a strong element in there somewhere in your life, in my life, that I don't know well about. So there's where this doubt keeps creeping in, if there is, because I don't know, I'm not well informed about that situation, either emotionally or historically or skillfully. There's stuff that I don't possibly know. That's why I thought I could feel in that way. So I liked it. I liked going through it in my mind and getting up and just deciding on some certain aspects, a certain trajectory of my moves as an artist. But I'm not a craftsman, but you gotta be a craftsman. But I am a really good artist. If I like to do that project, I think this is quite essential for me. To be free to explore ideas, and then I could discuss those ideas. And the discussion is, if the person is going to discuss with me some certain type of ideas, that person better have emotionally equipped and be very simple and not come to me with 5 different directions. So last night I was just sitting onto my armchair and I felt so good, and I had half of this chocolate he makes. So he's a vegan and he makes his chocolate out of coconut butter and pure cocoa. I think there's a difference between cacao and a cocoa, but this is the bitter one. And I don't know if he uses any sugar in it or not. And now he has this bicarbonator. So he activates all the OTC, CBT, 2CB, whatever it is in that weed thing, including the pollen. So he just puts everything in it, activates it in this little machine, and it looks like, so it heats it up, as I understand. I haven't made this. This is like, he was just proud of his doing of stuff, and it just was so amazing. So I have to give credit. So he does that activation, so the machine keeps it heated around 120 to 125 degrees Celsius. So that's the activation, so it shouldn't go really above that, as I understand, not to burn it or deactivate it, and it has to be over a certain amount of temperature for those compounds to become activated. And he makes these chocolates. I mean, oh my God, I had a half and it just keeps coming and coming. And I was just relaxing on my armchair, put my legs onto my beautiful, I mean, is it like a centimeter and a half thickness of glass table with the oak legs. It's beautiful. And I put my feet over the glass table and start watching, dim the lights down. Put some orange mood lights. My eyes are beautifully soft and gelled it through things. And I start watching The Irishman. And I thought, I'm loving this. I'm loving it. Just like, because I'm so interested in something. And the new movie was amazing. Amazing different levels. I think it's the raw readiness and reality of things. Yeah. And I thought, I'm relaxing in my life, which means that I'm gaining confidence to come out and just saying that yo, the shit I do is good. Is, I mean, the shit I do, it, dude, I am the dudess. That's, yo. So, overall, this is kind of a little bit of a picture about my last night to, let's just wrap it up with what we've talked about. Now we kind of have an idea about my obsession with the high heel shoes that I never wear. But I don't, when I have like a 15 pairs of high heel shoes in my cupboard, shoe cupboard, I don't really feel like the necessity of buying more. That's why I'm not throwing them away. So that's why I'm keeping them in my closet. I mean, I might go through a stage of clearing those out. I did once, so I haven't wrapped all up, have I? Because I can't remember how I started the conversation of today. But the view is amazing. It was about 2.5 years ago. I decided to clear out everything I have in the house. But what do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to use this as the next episode. I'm going to carry on talking now. And I'm going to talk about how I cleared my everything out. I mean, this is not even a minimalistic living, and how it affected the change I was going through, and what did it do to me psychologically, and what it did to my life physically, and how I am, I'm just going to talk about a really short term type of it, but now. It's been a great pleasure. If there is anybody there, of course there fuck is. Sorry, I'm swearing. You know, I'm coming from a house. It was banned to swear. So I think now I'm really getting into the liking the rhythm of words and syllables, the rhythm of the body, the rhythm of the tongue, and the rhythm that we emit a sort of energy. I think I'm going to start swearing too. I kind of want the swearing to be really good. A slightly edgy. Just because I'm here there. Now I'm going to swear. I love you. I just really, really love you. And I want to say to you that just be easy to yourself. Be busy, yeah, but be easy. Be easy to yourself. Be easy and give time to relax into who you are and what you like. That's the best way to see a world that is enhancing and that's inviting. And that is, you can feel you move through. So be easy to yourselves. And you're there. And this is exit 3-3. Boom. And the next one. See you.